Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Hello, I'm Simone Carlos.
And I'm Mike McDowell.
Welcome to Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe, the show that explores what it really takes to live, work, and build a business in Spain.
Whatever your line of work, this is the place for you.
Maybe you are a sole trader, or perhaps you have dozens of staff members. No matter what your situation, along with our guests and our experts, we are here to offer guidance to help you succeed.
You never know, you might be inspired to make changes or even start a new company.
Do get in touch and let us know if you have a question about particular aspects of starting or running a company in Spain, big or small. As always, we will answer your questions later in the show.
Send us an email. The address is simone at tre.radio. That's simone at tre.radio.
Right now, grab a cup of tea and join us for this latest edition of Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe.
Later in the programme, I'll be talking to business coach Cheryl Schubert in Valencia.
Mike will be talking to Cheryl Schubert in part three of the show.
Ahead of Cheryl, in part two, we will answer your questions about starting a business in Spain.
We have had quite a few emails this week, and we will try to answer as many as we can.
Right now, let's hear from our first guests. And yes, there are two of them, because a few days ago, Simone and I had the great pleasure of chatting to Ellie MacDonald and Brenda Navarro from Be Spain Savvy.
Be Spain Savvy is a very clever new service for foreigners living in Spain. You can ask them to help you with absolutely anything.
Anything at all, from simple things like booking a restaurant to much more complex issues like organizing your medical cards.
They will even take care of visa applications or residency.
They really know what they're doing. Apart from having a huge wealth of knowledge about Spanish bureaucracy, they have both walked in your shoes. Brenda is Spanish but has lived in other parts of the world, and Ellie is Scottish but has been in Spain for all of her adult life.
I was in Burgos for a while, and I was in Bilbao in Madrid, and I lived in Jaén and Granada. So Cádiz was a natural progression on the way down, I think. I love the lifestyle that Cádiz can provide. It's almost 365 days a year of good weather, and there's always a new beach or a new place to go walking. I have many, many animals, and they all need to walk. So it was an easy choice to decide to stay here.
And what was the spark behind Be Spain Savvy? Was there a personal, there has to be a better way moment that inspired you to create it?
Well, actually, it's kind of it's a cute part of our little history, Brenda and I, because I had been living in China. And while I was living in China, I used a fixer. They called it a fixer. And every kind of British person in China has their own fixer. And I remember thinking, oh, what a good idea. Like, why don't they have these people in Spain? And then I thought, because people who live in Spain want to learn Spanish, so they don't want these fixers because they want to, you know, practice and do it themselves. And obviously I did that. That's how I, you know, experienced Spain, trial and error and many, many mistakes. And then I met Brenda via Facebook. I was buying something from Brenda. And we, you know, we started to chat, and then over a coffee, she kind of explained to me this same idea. And I was like, oh, but Brenda, I don't think it will work. Like, I don't think that people need this service here because, you know, people want to learn Spanish. And she was like, oh, no, no, people need it. People need it. Like, it's an important thing. And there we are.
Brenda, you bring communications and translation expertise to the mix. What made you think this is the right person to build this with?
Her and I are the perfect yin and yang, and she brings the perfect energy to the table. And being like the local one with the local knowledge plus the expat one that has gone through all the hurdles, I think it's what brings our authenticity to the table. We are not, I mean, we're business, so we have to obviously make money with what we do, but we have both experience because I'm married to an American and she's a foreigner here, so we have both experienced the Spanish little bit of shady way of trying to take a little bit of advantage of foreigners just because they're here for a little while, we think they have more money or they just don't speak the language really well. So we wanted to do something different and fresh and good for people.
Do you find when people move here to Spain and they haven't yet got into the rhythm of how things work in Spain and the timings, and as you say, that sort of, I mean, you've got to have patience, I've found. You've got to have patience. But do you find that people, they become emotional and they get stressed and anxious about things? And I wonder if a lot of your clients do, and what do you say to them in order to try to relieve some of that anxiety?
We have personal contact with all of our clients. They have WhatsApp, they have email. And, you know, I've had phone calls with people in tears because they needed help or whatever. But none of these problems are, it's not the first time we've seen them. It's not the last time it's going to happen. It's just a case of breathing and getting through the moment, and it's going to be okay, you know? So I think the personal touch is the key, and it's important for me that you're having a good time here.
And Brenda, do you find that there are, forgive me for this question, but are there certain nationalities of people who find it easier to assimilate?
Well, I think it's always down to the individual personality, but we all bring from our own home countries to the table, right? And so yes, there are different nationalities that take things differently when it comes to timing in Spain and having patience, like you said.
You mentioned earlier on that you're married to an American. Do you recommend starting a relationship with Spanish people or Spanish people to start relationships with expats in order to help the process?
Well, I think it brings a whole different aspect because he has no way out. It's like he cannot live on the outskirts of Spain, which I think a lot of expats come here. Some integrate fully. Like you can see Ellie. Ellie is almost more Spanish than I am in certain things. But and then you have other expats that are here like half and half, right? And then you have the ones that are living on the outskirts of everything, that have even been living here for years and years, and they don't learn the language, and they don't really put their fingers into what Spain is all about and the culture and the understanding how Spain functions, because Spain is not an easy country to move to. It's not a comfortable country. Things are hard. Taxes are high. And yeah, people are very nice and friendly, and you go out and there is a good energy, right? But when it comes to your empadronamiento and your paperwork and the stuff that we all have to do, it's hard to love sometimes. And so yeah, by marrying a local, I think you have a good advantage because, you know, you have that a person every day with you 24/7, but also you have no way out. This is it. You got to love Spain and everything that comes with it.
It's funny to listen to a Spanish person telling me that Spanish paperwork is hard is simultaneously reassuring. but also horrifying. I mean, if you find it difficult, how would I find it?
Yep. And that's the magic of being a Spain savvy. I'm Spanish, but I've lived abroad for a long time, and I can see my country for what it is. And I'm married to a foreigner, so I can see how difficult things are when you want to first settle here and do everything. And to be honest, paperwork is it's something that we all, as a nation, I think, hate in Spain. It's like, it's way too complicated. It could be simpler, it's not. And another thing that I think is very frustrating for foreigners living here is that Spain has rules, but they are not always followed. So we tell all the clients, like, this is how it should happen. That doesn't mean that this is how it's going to happen.
So your tone online is funny, warm, and completely relatable. Was that a conscious strategy or simply your personalities shining through that you're funny and so relatable?
I don't know how funny we are. I know we have a lot of fun together. We do.
Ellie, running a business in Spain isn't always simple. What's tested your patience the most?
We're actually still in debates with our gestor about how we're paying our taxes and stuff. So, I mean, we're still stressed. It's not set in stone yet. So, because we are like a new business idea. And what are we doing? Well, that's a good question. What are we doing? We're still working things out, you know. Like, I think Spain in general, everything is just always just working itself out.
And has Spain's famously relaxed pace changed the way you approach business here?
I've only ever worked as an adult in Spain. I don't know any other way. I think, like Brenda says, sometimes I think I'm Spanish, as in I don't have necessarily a reference in the UK. I studied in the UK and then I left.
And do you miss the UK?
I miss my family, my friends. I miss certain food, fish and chips. But no, I don't miss the UK. And I think recently the UK, I don't think anybody really misses the UK at the moment. I think the political situation isn't ideal. But no, I don't think I'd go home. I don't think I'd go home. Don't tell my mom, but I don't think I'm going home.
So on the other hand, what have been the biggest rewards? Those moments that make you think, yes, this is exactly why we started this.
We've had some difficult things to overcome for clients of ours. And just the sheer love and support that they give us afterwards, that's for me the most gratifying part of it all.
It's what Ellie said about knowing the clients personally. We know the problems, but we know that, like, they share with us the good and the bad and the problems, and then we solve the problems, and we just become part of the family. The relationship that we acquire with our clients, it's so personal.
You two work so closely together. What do each of you bring to the partnership that makes it click?
We've got very different skills and ways of working, I think. I think Brenda's more of a thinker and more thorough. I kind of get stuff done. Like, there's been moments where we've organized to do something and then she sent me a draft and I thought it was finished. So I sent it to hundreds of people. And, you know, I'm very much like, we're getting it done. We're finishing it now. And she's very much like, oh, you know, I remember deciding on the name of the company. She was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, right, you've got three options. This one, this one, or this one. She was like, okay, that one. So we work well in the fact that I get it done and then she makes sure it's done well.
What is the most commonly asked question from your clients? What's the most common challenge, or what's the most common mistake they make?
Parking fines are a problem for lots of people. We've had to pay lots of parking fines. Apparently it's very complicated to decide where to park in Spain. And even if you park right, sometimes you still get the fine. So
you see, I thought you were going to tell me something about taxes or whether to be autónomo or SL, but parking.
I mean, typical day-to-day things. And the healthcare card is really hard for people to get. People have a lot of difficulty with the And they don't like going to the medical center to ask for it. Apparently the receptionists are all mean all over the country.
I can confirm that.
I didn't have that experience. Mine was so kind. But everyone's like, oh no, I don't want to go.
So do you know of any common misconception that you hear from newcomers trying to navigate life here in Spain?
There is a big community of Americans here, and they come thinking that the Spanish weather in southern Spain is like California weather, San Diego, right? And they come here and it's cold in the winter. I mean, we had sunshine, but it gets chilly. So they're like blown away by that. And the whole, it's colder inside the house in Spain than it is outside, especially here in the south, right? But here in the south and in the Mediterranean area, I think we are prepared for sunshine and good weather, and we just don't know what to do when it rains or it's cold, and our houses are not ready. So I think that's one of the big ones that we get, like, oh my God, it's cold. You know, even my husband, we were walking last night and I was like, oh, I'm not ready for this winter weather. It's like, it's November already. Get ready. But yeah, that I hear a lot, especially here in Cádiz. I hear that a lot.
You've spoken before about helping people live like locals. What does that actually mean to you? And why is it important for newcomers to embrace that mindset?
I think, as we were mentioning before, some expats come and they integrate, you know, they learn the language, they make friends, and they're living a side of Spain that you don't get to live unless you do that. And, you know, then you have other people who are here maybe and they're working a bit too much, or family life is a bit much for them, and they haven't had the opportunity to integrate like another, you know, an individual might have had. Or maybe it's the need as well. You know, if you come by yourself, you have to. If you come with your family, maybe you tend to stick with your little unit. And I think that if you don't integrate, if you don't try to you know, use local businesses, have local friends, you don't find all of the really great places. You don't get to try all of the really good food. I live in a village, and last year I discovered gazpacho caliente. And I was like, oh my God, I love gazpacho caliente, it's so delicious. And my friend, who is from Sevilla, she's Spanish, she was like, gazpacho caliente doesn't exist. And I was like, it does here. So even within the Spanish, there are things that they don't know. So imagine the expats coming in, unless you're being shown around by your own personal tour guide, you're missing a lot of stuff. I think for me, it's the experiences, the places that I've visited, the food that I've tried. And I've lived like a local almost since I arrived. I got lucky with my groups of friends and boyfriends.
Congratulations on your recent award. What did that recognition mean for you both personally and professionally?
Well, it was one of those surprise ones, right? So, this idea came together because I was selling something on Facebook Market, and Ellie sent me a message and came to the house, and we just clicked. We connected right away. And then by talking and wanting to do something right, good for people, and it's working. So it's amazing that somebody else says, hey, you guys, you're doing great. It's like, oh.
What was that moment exactly when you first met that you would say, from there on I knew we're gonna do a business together?
I think we started talking, and you know, it's the awkward moment where you're like, I said, she came to the house because I was selling something, so we started talking. She had to go to work, or she had to be somewhere, so it was kind of like, ah, you know we need to talk more, there is more here. And I don't know, things happen for a reason. I firmly believe that. And the universe puts the people that you need at the moment that you need them. Maybe 3 years ago or 5 years ago, we wouldn't have clicked this, or we would be friends but not business partners. But it was the perfect moment for both of us. And And yes, when we started talking about, hey, there's something here. And it's like, I don't like how some businesses treat foreigners. I just don't like that. And I see it being Spanish. Like, I get angry at when I see people trying to take advantage of foreigners just because they are. Not only because I'm married to a foreigner, but also, and I have a lot of friends that are foreigners here, but because I have been a foreigner myself. I've lived in Germany and Scotland and the US, and I don't like to be treated like that. I'm a smart woman. I'm smart here, and I'm still smart in Scotland and the US, right? I may not understand everything that's going on around me, or that buying a car in the US is way different than buying it here in Spain, but I'm still smart. So just explain it to me and I'll get it. And she started talking about her experience in China, and it was kind of like, let's make something special out of this idea. I have three kids, but Be Spain Savvy is kind of like me and Ellie's baby, right? Because we talk about it on Facebook many times too. Like, we have almost 18,000 people right now, but we started with nobody. We started with calling everybody that we know or messaging everybody on Facebook, like, let's get to 100, right? So we are not just talking for 10 people. And we remember our first 1,000 was kind of like, oh my God. And now we're at 18. And not only at 18, we didn't buy anybody. We did it because people like what we're talking about.
What would you think makes Spain very much different in either a positive or negative way from other places?
I think Spain has a much higher quality of life. Scotland, I love. It's a great country, but you have to work harder to have the minimum, I think. And here, not that you don't have to work hard, we are working very hard, but you still get to go outside and feel the sun on your face and, you know, walk the dogs and it's not drizzling all the time. The quality of life for me in Spain is out of this world. And I've lived in many places and I always come back to Spain.
We always complain about bureaucracy in Germany. So would you say it's more difficult here in Spain than in Germany?
The difference that I see is that in Germany, you get what you know that you're going to get. In Spain, it's kind of like a surprise. It's like, okay, let me go prepare with my folder and everything else to the city hall. And then would I get it done today? I don't know.
Your main customers, are they more in the south of Spain or are people contacting you from all over Spain?
No, everywhere. Galicia, Asturias, Valencia, Madrid, Murcia, Almería, Alicante, Málaga, everywhere.
And for anyone listening who's dreaming about moving to Spain or starting their own business here, what's the one piece of advice you'd leave them with?
Mm-hmm. I was going to be sarcastic and say, don't do it. But I change it. Come, be a member of Be Spain Savvy and we'll sort you out. I do think it's get support. Make sure you speak to many, many people and don't trust one source. Like, obviously we're one source, but we're two people, and within our network we've got, I don't even know how many people now. Like, it's not just my opinion. I'm always asking, you know, oh, how do we do this and what's this and what's this. Ask okay. And learn Spanish.
Brenda, what would you say?
Go with your gut, talk to people, and talk to us, and then if you're not sure, then talk to somebody else. Keep your mind open and be flexible, be adaptable, and take Spain for what it is, because it's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to live. That's why we're here, right? But it has its bad parts, and we have to also accept it. People, when they come to us, they're already burnt out. They have gone to the city hall so many times. They have fight with the bank already. And they have all these issues. And it's like, oh, I wish you would have come to us first, because this is really so easy to do, you know?
How does Be Spain Savvy work? I give you a call and then can I just ask you anything? Book me a restaurant or do I need to be a member? How does it work for me?
Be Spain Savvy has multiple ways of of using our services. So, for example, we have Facebook and Facebook subscribers, and they get extra content. And we have membership, and membership of the website gets discounts and direct recommendations from us. You know, indirectly, we can help you, but we don't actually do the task for you. Then we have subscribers, and subscribers get acts of assistance. And yes, in that case, for example, I can book the table for you. I can fill out the form for you. I can make the appointment for you until your quota of acts of assistance has been, you know, paid for that month. And then you can top up, or you can, you know, you can pay for more if you want more acts of assistance. And then we also take on things like packs, like we have visa offers. So you come to us and, you know, we help you organize everything that you need. We get the documents sent off to the translator for you. We make sure that everything, and as far as we can, we do it for you. I mean, we are not you. So sometimes, you know, you have to go to the appointment, but we send you off with your script, with your notes, so that you know what you're supposed to do. You go to the appointment. If there's any issues, I'm on the phone. You can call me. And I'll be like translating between you and the person on the desk. We do everything.
Like Ellie said, our subscribers are our clients that have been with us for a long time. We have also individual services. So if you want just one appointment, one day, if you're in the local area, we go with you, because you really want to tell your kids teacher this one thing that you really want them to understand. Or you have a doctor's appointment. So we have interpreting services, you're buying a house, you need somebody to go with you to the notary to make sure, you need appointment for the notary, or the one-time NIE appointment that you cannot get. Because Ellie is kind of like a magician when it comes to that. And she knows the times and the perfect hours to find the appointments. So we have like a variety. To be honest, the majority of the people that start with the services and start paying like for the little things here and there become subscribers, because it's the best option. We get more money if everybody pays for individual services, to be honest. But it's easier if we know you. So maybe this month you won't have anything happening to you, but we already did your digital certificate, your empadronamiento, your kids' school registration. So we know you.
Where can people find you?
Our website, beesbeingsavvy.com. We are extremely active on Facebook. Again, Bees Being Savvy. And there's also a Facebook community. People get to chat there amongst themselves. Instagram, Bees Being Savvy. And at the moment, we're working on TikTok, but we're not huge lovers of TikTok, but we're getting there.
Many thanks to Ellie MacDonald and Brenda Navarro from Be Spain Savvy. And you can find them, of course, at bespainsavvy.com. And as they explained, Ellie and Brenda can help you with absolutely any aspect of life in Spain, from simply booking a table at a restaurant to the big stuff like visas or registering your kids at school.
After the break, I'll be answering this week's emails. Stay with us.
This is Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe, the expat entrepreneur's Spanish survival guide.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
This is Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe with Mike McDowell and Simone Carlos.
Welcome back to Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe. I'm Mike McDowell.
And I'm Simone Carlos.
We are shining a spotlight on the remarkable stories of foreign business owners right here in Spain.
Whether you are just starting out or you're already established, we want to help make your Spanish business a success.
So drop us a line and tell us your story. As we always say, we're just as interested in those of you who are registered as autónomo as we are in those with limited companies.
Send us an email. The address is simone@tre.radio. That's simone@tre.radio.
Now, with a little bit of help from me, Simone is going to answer a few of the questions that you have sent in. Let's dive straight in. Our first email today comes from Jennifer in Marbella. I think we've heard from Jennifer before. This week, Jennifer writes, "Hi, Mike and Simone. I'm thinking of opening a small cafe near the Old Town in Marbella. I've found the perfect location, but I'm wondering how long it takes to get all the necessary licenses to sell food and drinks. Can you give me a realistic time frame?"
Great question, Jennifer, and congratulations on finding your location. Now, this is one area where people often underestimate the time involved. For a cafe where you'll be preparing and serving food, you're going to need several licenses. First, there's the opening license, or licencia de apertura, which confirms your premises meets all the requirements. Then you need the food handling permit. And of course, your business must be registered with the health department.
So we're talking about multiple steps here.
Exactly. In total, I'd say you should realistically allow between 3 to 6 months for the entire process. Now, that might sound like a long time, but much of it depends on your local town hall and how quickly they process applications. Some municipalities are faster than others. The health inspection alone can take 4 to 8 weeks once you've applied. And that's assuming everything is in order with your kitchen facilities.
So Jennifer shouldn't be planning a grand opening next month.
I definitely advise patience. My recommendation is always to start the process as early as possible, even before you sign a lease if you can, because these timelines can stretch out. And make sure all your documentation is absolutely perfect when you submit it. Any errors or missing paperwork will just add more delays.
Okay, that's good advice. Right, the next email is from Robert in Fuengirola. Robert says, "Hi both. I want to register as self-employed to do freelance graphic design work from home. How long does it take to become autonomo, and when do I actually need to register?"
Hi, Robert. Good news. Becoming autonomo is actually one of the quicker processes. Registration can be done in a single day if you go to the Social Security office with all your paperwork in order. You'll need your NIA, your passport, and a completed form declaring what work you'll be doing.
So potentially, for Robert, just one visit?
In theory, yes. Though I always recommend people allow a few days for any unexpected issues. And you must register as autonomo before you start working or invoicing clients. If you're caught working without being registered, you can face significant fines.
Okay, next up, we have Maria from Cordoba. "Dear Mike and Simone, my husband and I want to open a small shop. How long does it take to set up a limited company in Spain? And do we even need a company? Or can we just operate as autónomos?"
This is a question I hear often. And the answer really depends on your specific situation. For a small retail shop, many people do operate perfectly well as autonomous. It's simpler, cheaper to maintain, and if you're both working in the business, you can both register as self-employed.
But there are advantages to having an SL, a limited company, right?
Absolutely. The main advantage is limited liability. Your personal assets are protected if the business runs into financial trouble. With autonomous status, you're personally liable for all business debts. For a retail shop with stock, rent commitments, and potential supplier debts, that's worth considering. As for timing, setting up an SL, that's a sociedad limitada, Spain's version of a limited company, typically takes between 2 to 4 weeks if everything goes smoothly.
And what does that process involve? Is it easy?
You'll need to reserve the company name, open a bank account, draft the company statutes with a lawyer, and then sign everything before a notary. After that, it gets registered with the mercantile registry. Each step takes a few days, so it does add up. My suggestion for Maria and her husband would be to speak with a gestor who can help them weigh up the costs and benefits for their particular situation.
Right, the next email is from Thomas in Benalmádena. He says, "Hi Mike and Simone, I'm planning to offer sailing lessons. How long does it take to get the proper maritime licenses and business permits? I already have my skipper's license."
Hello, Thomas. This is an interesting one because you're dealing with multiple jurisdictions, both maritime authorities and local business regulations. To operate commercially, you'll need to register your business activity and get authorization to operate tourist services.
So it's not just about being able to sail.
Exactly. The maritime authority needs to inspect and approve your vessel for commercial passenger use. This inspection process can take anywhere from 1 to 3 months, depending on how busy they are and whether your boat needs any modifications to meet safety requirements. Then you need to register with the tourism registry in Andalusia if you're offering tourist services, which is another 4 to 6 weeks typically.
So we're looking at several months wait again.
Expect at least 3 to 4 months for the complete process, possibly longer during the busy summer season. The good news is that much of this can be done in parallel, so you can be preparing your business registration while waiting for the maritime inspection, for example. If you're planning to be ready for next summer season, I'd strongly suggest starting this process now or as soon as possible.
Good advice, Thomas. Get going. Okay, the final email for today comes from Sophie near Malaga. Sophie says, "Hi both, love the show. Quick question, I want to open an online business selling jewellery. Do I need any special permits and how long before I can start selling?"
Thanks, Sophie. Lovely to hear from you. The good news is an online business is generally one of the simpler setups. You won't need premises licenses since you're working from home, but you absolutely do need to register as autonomo and register your business with the tax office for IAE. That's the economic activities tax.
How quickly can Sophie get started?
If Sophie gets her autonomo registration done, she could theoretically be up and running within a week or two. The main things she needs are her autonomo registration and to register for VAT if she will be selling within the EU. I'd also strongly recommend getting proper invoicing software set up from day one and keeping immaculate records.
Any other considerations for online businesses?
Yes. Websites must comply with Spanish data protection laws, and you must have proper terms and conditions. It's worth spending a few hundred euros on a lawyer to get these documents right at the start. But overall, online businesses are definitely one of the faster routes to getting started in Spain. But remember, these timelines are guidelines. Every situation is unique. So always consult with a professional advisor for your specific circumstances.
Okay, those are all the emails we have time for this week. If you would like your business question answered on air, drop us a line. The address is simone@tre.radio.
We are going to take a short break when we come back, Mike will be chatting to Cheryl Shuberth, who uprooted her life in the United States to move to eastern Spain. Don't go away.
This is Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe, the expat entrepreneur's Spanish survival guide.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
This is Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe with Mike McDowell and Simone Carlos.
Welcome back to Business Roots on Talk Radio Europe. I'm Simone Carlos.
And I'm Mike McDowell. And the stars of this program are foreign business owners and freelancers.
Because this is the show that explores how to live, work, and build a business in Spain.
If you've immigrated from anywhere in the world and you have a company here, or maybe you have an idea and you don't know how to get up and running, drop us a line, tell us your story, whatever your line of work, we would like to hear from you.
The whole point of Business Roots is to help one another out by sharing our experiences.
Because we are all in this together. And do let us know if you have a question about any particular aspect of starting or running a company in Spain. Either Simone or one of our featured business owners or experts will have the answer.
Send us an email. The address is simone@tre.radio. That's simone@tre.radio.
In part one of the show, we heard from Ellie MacDonald and Brenda Navarro, owners of Be Spain Savvy, operating throughout the country but based in Cadiz. Well, now we are heading east to Valencia, where American former corporate technology exec Cheryl Shuberth has made a new home and established a business.
I'm Cheryl Shuberth. I am a leadership coach and a master facilitator. And what that means is that I help leadership teams navigate change. Bottom line, having the conversations that allow them to make change and navigate it with their teams in an intentional way. So I live in Valencia, Spain. I've been here for a year. And basically, when I decided to leave my corporate career after 25 years in technology, I knew I was meant to go different places physically and emotionally. And so Spain has been a fantastic place for me to land and explore what's next.
How does your business work? Do you run workshops?
I do run workshops. I also work with teams who are either global. I do a lot of work through intentional use of Zoom to get people who might normally not really engage with each other to engage. Maybe, for example, if you have a brand new leadership team or you're post-merger and you want the teams to really assimilate, instead of the groups sitting on a Zoom call being told how they should act and going away and doing what they've always done, I bring them together in a way that allows them to align on how they want to move forward together.
So are most of your clients large corporations?
My background is in corporate technology, big Fortune 500 companies. But right now I'm doing a lot more of the online work with companies who are new to, I guess, reaching across the lines and growing in the global way.
How do you get them to interact with one another? And how do you introduce these new ideas like a relaunch or some kind of change or restructuring or whatever it is you're working on?
So I'm the guide. So I work with whoever's helping to design or develop the event. It could be the HR leader. It could be the senior executive themselves. It could be a 2-hour executive summit. It could be a 3-day strategic planning initiative. A lot of it's about designing questions that allow them to really think about what it is they want to do next. All of our companies, the most important part of our company is our people. And if we don't take care of those people, and we don't listen to those people, and we don't appreciate and respect and honor those people, technology doesn't matter, right? We can have the greatest AI tools, but if we're just gonna let AI run rampant and we're not going to allow the humanity that is the point of it all to come into the conversation, then what is the impact we're really having?
It kind of sounds like a group therapy exercise. I didn't mean to in any way diminish what it is you're doing at all.
No, I mean, group therapy can be great too. But it's really, really getting to know the other person on the other side of the conversation so that you can appreciate their perspective in a new way. And when the conversations become difficult, it allows you to navigate those in a respectful way so that you have a realistic outcome rather than frustration. You know, I think we've all been in meetings where you have a conversation, you make a bunch of decisions, and a week later, nothing's changed.
I mean, does it improve productivity? I hate to... I sound like the capitalist now, but you know what I mean. This is an investment, obviously. Does it improve productivity to have these sessions with you?
I would say productivity is improved because we're not redoing and having the same conversations over and over. And it also increases innovation because when all the voices are heard, not just the loudest one, you get more ideas. And when people aren't afraid to speak up, then you're going to get some more of these off the wall, crazy ideas that might actually work or that might lead to the next best idea.
So our listeners who have perhaps established a business here in Spain and have some employees, a number of employees, is that the wisdom that they could take away from this conversation that we're having now? You know, that it's important to listen not only to the loudest voices.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes the voices you want to invite into a conversation might never, ever have been invited before.
And it's important to make everyone feel valued.
100%.
Why did you move to Valencia and where have you moved from?
So I lived in Spain when I was in college. I spent a semester here and then I returned to Madrid after I graduated. And I just really love the culture. Family first, community first, and not working all the time. Then, you know, when I was back in the U.S., married, had kids, my corporate career was going very well. But about 6 years ago, I decided to leave that career because I wanted to spend more time with my kids before they left for school. And knowing my youngest was going to be leaving the state and my oldest was looking at traveling, doing his own traveling, we decided it was a good time for us to move. And when we were exploring countries and when we landed in Spain, it was really my husband who just said, oh, wow, this is our vibe. This is our place. And so just under a year later, when my youngest went to school, we showed up in Valencia.
And you established a business here. And I wonder, has it been a painless experience?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. You know, Spain is... They're known for their red tape. They're known for things being slow. And for us, I can't say we didn't experience that, but we were prepared. We knew that we had to have our ducks in a row. We knew that we couldn't just show up and they would, you know, tell us what to do. And then we'd come back the next day and they would approve whatever we needed. We knew we had to do our research and bring in the right documentation. And I think being prepared allowed it to feel as painless as it could be. but obviously there were some hurdles and hoops, and I'm struggling with a bank account right now that I can't access, and a little frustrating. So
Yeah. I think every immigrant has a red tape horror story or funny story. I mean, do you have a particularly memorable moment?
So when we first moved, we didn't have our visa yet. And so we're here on the digital nomad visa, which you can apply for in country. And one of the things that the company working with us to help us get our visa suggested is because we didn't enter the Schengen area through Spain, we came in through Paris. They suggested we go to the police station to have this certificate saying when we arrived. And so we brought our boarding passes. We went to the police station. My Spanish is much better now. It was okay then, but I was navigating this conversation at the police station in Spanish in a city we just showed up in 2 days ago. And we went into the police station and the woman, you know, gave me some direction, basically said, go outside and go over there. She kind of pointed and we're like, okay. So we went around the building. I think we need to go here. Not really sure. It didn't look right. We came back and I went inside. She's like, no, just wait outside. You know, a couple people were coming in and out of the building. The gentleman walks out, asks us what we needed, explained what we needed. He looked at us kind of funny, but said, okay, give me your passports and your boarding passes. And he disappeared into the building. And we look at each other. We're like, hope he works here because we think this is what we're supposed to do. It was not quite the formality of a process at the police station, an immigration process that we would have expected. But It worked.
Are you autonomo or did you form an SL?
Autonomo.
What's the most important element? Is it finding a decent lawyer, a good Hestor, or is it simply walking everywhere with a briefcase full of all your paperwork in case you need it?
I think there's probably two. One is finding a good Hestor, definitely, that someone you can trust to help you navigate the process. But I think the other one, which I would do before that, is to make sure you understand the tax implications of your options so that when you declare one or the other, or maybe even something else, you really appreciate what that tax bill is going to look like. I think everybody knows the taxes in Spain tend to be higher than other places, but there's a lot of other benefits that come with living in Spain.
I have one last question. What, for you, is the very best thing about living in Spain?
The joy. I think even when things are challenging and difficult or, you know, there's protests here all the time, but the people still lean on joy and lean on each other. And it's all about community.
Many thanks to Cheryl Schuberth.
And you can find out more about Cheryl's work at her website, CherylWorldwide.com. That's CherylWorldwide.com.
Okay, that's all we have time for this week. Join us again next Monday when we'll be finding out how to get your business and your life set up in Malaga.
We will also be in the Balearic Islands, where the regional government has kicked a hornet's nest by banning the rental of privately owned boats to tourists. They've also stopped issuing licenses for holiday lets. The new measures are part of their efforts to address the many, many complaints about over-tourism. But they are having a serious effect on many people's livelihoods. Plus, the boat rental ban defies new Spanish national regulations. We'll be chatting to Mallorca-based British charter boat owner, Captain Pete Lucas.
Don't miss it. Hasta luego.
Adios.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit TRE.radio.